All right. So, okay. Now, this here is something I call East versus West, a Hollywood horror. A Hollywood horror. Nickelback. All right. East versus West. A Hollywood horror. Nothing's wrong. Nickelback. Yeah, I just did that twice. All right, but seriously. East versus West, a Hollywood horror. Now, let's say you're in the jungle and approached by a hungry man-eating lion. Do you care if this lion is male or female? Think about it for 1 second. You're walking in the jungle. Suddenly, you're approached by a hungry man-eating lion. Do you care if this lion is male or female? So, this jungle represents the world and earth, where only the strong will survive. Country against country, belief against belief. What countries and beliefs specifically? How about the United States of America for democracy versus Russia for communism? Those countries specifically. America and Western democracy stand in justice for all men. Russian communism is the oppressing, man-eating lion of the Eastern evil empire. Let me explain. So after the emergence of the atomic nuclear age and the detonation of the bomb ending World War II, both countries have kept boots on the ground all over the world. I'm talking about the United States of America and Russia. After the emergence of the atomic nuclear age and the detonation of the bomb ending World War II, both of those countries have kept boots on the ground all over the world. Both of those countries have funding and fought wars in the name of their belief while stockpiling the most devastating nuclear weapons. The bomb's eyes have remained deadly cold, growing impatient, watching and waiting. Did you know that the U.S. and Russia possess approximately 89% of the world's total nuclear weapons? And this is from Christensen and colleagues in 2023. They report that the U.S. has 5,244 total nuclear weapons, and Russia has 5,889. China's in third place with 410 nuclear weapons. 40 years ago, the President of the United States, Ronald Reagan, so what, 1983, 1984, roughly, 40 years ago, President of the United States, Ronald Reagan, oh, and he was an actor, too, Ronald Reagan, called out the communist powers in the Soviet Union, saying that a global campaign for freedom would ultimately prevail. And that's Canon, 1991, page 271. The media machine, Hollywood propaganda, marched with Reagan administration in the global campaign to free the world from communism, to free the world from the oppressive communist rulers who eliminate freedom of speech and enforce economic systems built to keep the rich rich and the workers poor. Shout out to Regent University 2021. And so, The Empire Strikes Back, for all you Star Wars fans, was originally released in 1980. However, it was re-released in American theaters before the busy capitalist consumer's holiday hustle and bustle in November of 1982. America was primed and ready to be reminded that the Cold War was far from over. March of 1983, after the re-release of The Empire Strikes Back, Ronald Reagan took dialogue from the movie script denouncing the Soviet government as an evil empire and the focus of evil in the world, while introducing the Strategic Defense Initiative, or the SDI, ODIHR 2007. The SDI would become known as the Star Wars program, and the Hollywood government media propaganda machine was ready to release, you guessed it, Star Wars. Return of the Jedi, released 1983 on May 25th. Just 2 months after Reagan's statements and SDI, or Star Wars program. Let's go back to the, now let us say you are in the jungle and approached by a hungry man-eating lion. Do you care if this lion is male or female? Without further ado, I introduce the first female star warrior, the late Dr. Sally Ride, who in 1983, actually it's August 26, 1983, would be the inspiration of what would be known as Women's Equality Day, because she rocketed into space 8 weeks before. To be facetious, did you know that the Soviet Union or the evil empire actually sent their first woman into space, Valentina Tereshkova, nearly 20 years before the Americans? Wang and Quartz, 2015. Well, now you do. It may be true that Michael Jackson introduced the world to the moon dance. However, it was the second woman in space, another Russian female, Svetlana Savitskaya, the first woman to walk in space. Thank you, Caballero, 2017. However, as most know, and you can research the Russian space program, Stalin, they would send astronauts into space, and then the astronauts would never return. So, you know, let's give or take there. However, let us not forget that the Russians also defeated Nazi Germany in World War II. So the East and West were allies. This is Time magazine also put Stalin on its cover 11 times. And historians estimate his communist regime, 1922 to 1953, to be responsible for well over 20 million deaths, which is roughly 650,000 people every year. That's from Haven, 2023. Paradoxically, Columbia's 2011 yearly cause of death in America report was that 874,000 people die every year in America from poverty-related issues. And that was Clark, 2022. What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter if you're in the jungle and a hungry man-eating lion is male or female. It does not matter if the lion lives in the jungles east or west. The reality is that humanity continues to be eaten by democracy and communism. There is no justification for war. Slowly but surely, the lion of democracy pushed its kingdom to Russia's, formerly the Soviet Union's front door, now headlining the war in Ukraine. The point is, there are hungry man-eating lions, and unless we defeat these lions, they will continue to eat us. This is East, this is West, this is North, and of course, this is South. All right, so that was my little political rant. Today, we're going to look at getting into outcomes or getting to outcomes. But specifically, I want to take a look at the concept of, well, it is literacy, but funding for schools. So many prevention issues are affecting our children and educators nationwide. At the core of this tragedy is the continual progression of an unequal, growing achievement gap between the nation's wealthiest, white, and poorest students, black. And this is from Turner and colleagues, 2016. One reason this racial gap exists is funding. In fact, North in 2021 reported, nationwide, a majority non-white districts get $23 billion less in funding yearly than majority white districts, despite having the same number of students. That gap translates to a lower quality education for many black students and other students of color, which in turn perpetuates and widens Americans' racial inequalities. NPR and Turner in 2016 researched and found that the Chicago Ridge School District in Illinois had $9,794 to spend on each pupil. U.S. News Education in 2022 published the Illinois School Report Card from 2018 to 2019, showing that the Ridge District, with $12,211 spent on each student, this is an increase of 24.7%. Wow. So that, look, hey, that's progress, right? Wouldn't a politician say that? A politician would say, we went in to the Chicago Ridge School District. They were only getting $9,794 to spend on each student. And when I was done, Now they're getting 12,211 per student, 24.7. Has nothing to do with inflation and whatever. That's the Ridge District in Chicago, okay? 12,211 spent on each student, and this was just increased 24.7%. Less than an hour away from the Ridge District is Roundout District 72. You know, they had $40,483 to spend per student. And this is U.S. News Education in 2022, which is an increase of 41.3% from the $28,639 spent per student from the NPR and Turner report card. So, could they have taken, let's say, 3,000 less from the Roundout District per student and given it to the Chicago Ridge School District?
Oh, well, you got to understand there's taxes and the land's worth more money in the Roundout District.
Really? So both districts enroll most white students. However, the Roundout District, 70.3% white, does not even include black people in their minority race percentages. The Ridge District elementary proficiency schools were 14% in math and 22% in reading compared to Roundout District 72 scores, which were 47% in math and 67% in reading. Again, U.S. World News 2020. So, can we get these scores up in the Ridge District? I don't know. We're not getting any money up. To be facetious, and you know that's like my word, Mr. Facetious. So to be facetious and sarcastic, though completely honest, if you're looking to settle down outside of Chicago, Roundout District 72 includes daily curriculum breaks for students filled with mindful movement, and lunch is cooked on site, including a daily vegetation option. Oh, and before those district revenue percentages increases, which occurred from 2014 up through 2019, Roundout District 72 teachers, guess how much they made? $90,000 per year. So you should not have to worry about your child going to college because their teachers are obviously college professors. So how can we get to outcomes? Especially outcomes that would support upscaling and program adaption for current evidence-based programs in low socioeconomic urban communities nationwide, specifically in inner-city Chicago, which suffers from the highest insufficient literacy proficiency, juvenile delinquency, and dropout percentages. The negative factors, literacy, delinquency, dropping out, and unemployment, violence, substance abuse, and incarceration exist because these achievement educational gaps are firmly in place, creating a culture of poverty which is unbeknownst affected generational biological factors, attitudes, knowledge, and behaviors of families. That's Salazar 2013. Keeping the current Ridge School District stakeholders happy while setting goals to attract those wealthy, influential stakeholders from the Roundout District 72 in attempt to bring the districts together. Nationwide, of the incarcerated juvenile delinquents, 68% cannot read at an 8th grade level. I think there's a correlation there. Improving literacy, reading, writing, self-regulation, and social engagement scores during internal evaluations should be an objective already in place, but that always needs improvement. Black teachers have the lowest retention rate of any racial group in the state, with 81% staying in their schools compared to 87% overall. Black teachers are even more challenging to recruit in the early education setting. This is Jones, 2022. Yet it has been found to increase recruitment and retention, but not outcomes. That's Comfort. This ongoing action will be crucial in establishing long-term positive results and sustainability. Upscaling the current organizational capacity of programs in the Ridge School District to a model evidence-based program for teachers, implementing the promising, effective, positive curriculum is impossible without a few incentives for teachers and more money for those students. Providing more opportunities for students to receive grants and scholarships to high-quality early childhood daycare facilities where outcome evaluations are consistent with Hagen-Romano's 2013 Best Practices in Prevention. Continually finding ways and means to attract experienced professionals and educators to participate with these best practices, policymakers will first have to ask, well, what is in it for the Rondout District 72? How can political advocates fit these significant changes occurring in the Ridge School District to become a more unified area? The most challenging outcome to change for this education tragedy is the community teacher recruitment needs, because there's a lack of funding to attract the most qualified Black mentors and professionals so that they can uproot and then take an already daunting challenge and reinforce this new positive curriculum. Remember, the only thing changing is an upscaling to the current interventions on the ground running. Oh yeah, and that push for more money, please. Why are these disparities so evident yet impenetrable? Well, think of this situation with the following metaphors. Political agenda and wealth are to the educational and achievement gaps, as was the fear that the South would lose its economy and tobacco industry because of the Civil War. It is not necessarily a racist agenda first, but greed, wealth, and economic status, which has left minorities oppressed. Ridge District has 9 times the number of students compared to the Rondout District 72, and the value of property and business taxes paid are tenfold higher outside of the inner city. These property lines have separated wealthier areas for a century, and the legislature must find a way to bring unity and balance within all Chicago school districts. If nothing changes, everything stays the same. So generation after generation is stuck on a repetitive cycle where, you've heard this, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Salazar 2013 sheds light on this achievement gap influencing poor Black families' attitudes, having been motivated to expropriate themselves of resources to succeed in society and the school systems. When students of color experience academic difficulties, their struggles are often attributed to their culture, language, and home environment. The adverse future life comes of these gaps costs to these communities are so much more. All right, so that's that on the tragedy, which is the Ridge District versus the Rondout District. They're right up the street from each other, yet one district is getting nearly $50,000 per student per year, and the other is getting $12,000 per student per year. We got to get that together. I would have expected that with this information, and this information is 5-6 years old, that things would have changed. However, expectations. I always had expectations, especially as a young child. One thing specifically, I always expected that at some point I would grow up and I would just be able to have any woman that I wanted to be my wife. Maybe even there was this grandiose idea that once I became a specific age, maybe 18, 19, 20, I could just line up all the women in the world that I perceived to be attractive or I thought were supposed to be for me, and then I would get to pick that woman. And then the expectation was I would be madly in love and she would be madly in love with me, and we would have a white picket fence and many children. Expectation. I wonder where that came from. Maybe the television, maybe my parents' expectations about love and relationships. I can remember being younger too. I always had this expectation that, man, life was just going to be amazing. And it has been. It has been. My life today is beyond anything I could ever fathom. But there was a period there, if you've listened to this podcast or if you know me personally, where I wanted to die. I mean, life was not, and I think, at least I would hope and believe that most of us have feelings like that, where we're just unsure and uncertain. We feel alone. And so as a young child, I did not think that that would come into my... I had no idea. I expected to grow up and have the greatest job. There would be theme music all the time. We belong to the night, do 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 do. We belong to the city. And the city. I was always a big city lover. Where everybody knows your name, Dickie and a boo boo. I really thought that life was going to be this amazing, and it is, but just not like that as a child. I didn't know that work had to be put in. I didn't know that there was racial and educational disparities like what was shared about the Ridge and Roundabout 72 district in Chicago. Had no idea. I had no idea that this God concept, God, that each individual person had a right to their own interpretation or their own belief. I can remember being 5, 6 years old, and we would go to different churches. I didn't understand, well, why? Why is it a little different at this place compared to that last place? That didn't make sense to me. That was hard for me to come to terms with. It made it too hard for me to realize that there were other individuals and their feelings mattered. That was difficult. Back to expectations. And so there's this expectation, especially as a young child, that things are just going to magically be okay because life is a miracle, magical at that point. All the feelings, all the colors, all the anticipation, all the love, even those times of trauma and fear. There was always this hope. And today I get to live that hope, but there was expectations. When was it that I realized that I truly had to work until almost end of life? You know, my mother-in-law, well, we call her Sock. Well, actually, we call her Mimi now, but her name's Sue, and she's definitely my mother. She's definitely taken a critical role in my life over the last few years with the passing of my mom. But, you know, I'm talking to Mimi, Sock, Sue, and she's reminding me that, you know, if this country doesn't get things worked out, that it's very possible Generation X, Generation Millennial, there's not going to be a Social Security fund to retire upon. And that's, we already raised the age from 62 to 65. My expectation was at a young age, I was going to be rich, like her son, Brian Tucker, who's rich. But when was it that was like, hey, listen, you have to work from the, I started working at 12 in a crab house, Shiloh, who passed away young. Worked in his crab house, Kayla's crab house. At 12, I bought my first car, started paying rent in high school. I mean, well, I was partying and using, I thought I was using drugs with my family. So I thought that I was an adult. So, you know, I'm going to be paying some rent up in here because, you know, I'm an adult, but I wasn't. But, you know, Mimi reminds me that we work our whole life. I started working at 12 and allegedly, well, the expectation today is that I'm a work till I'm 65 full time, depending on this whole pension and all these things. That expectation, the expectation that it's not that life isn't wonderful and great, because it is, but maybe not for everyone. You know, I don't know if you know this, you may not, but 5 out of 6 adolescent girls in Africa make up the HIV AIDS population. 5 out of 6 of all cases are adolescent girls. Crazy. And here I am in America. I get to go to the store. All right, let me see. When I say let me see, I'm looking at the toilet paper section. Let me see what's going to be best for my butt. Let me save my ass. I can choose any fast food restaurant. In fact, I can pass the same fast food restaurant brand in a 10-mile period in case I missed it the first time. So blessed and so lucky, but yet also so misinformed and, as a young child, so incapable of fully grasping what it would be like to be an adult and to grow up. And even grief. Now, I started losing loved ones young, 6, then 8 or 9, then, you know, a childhood friend at 12, and then it continued to compound, especially as the disease of addiction progressed in my life and all of those around me. And then, of course, it's practical to say as you get older, you see more of that, right? More death, more physical death. That's another expectation that, and maybe that gives me hope and faith, that early connection that I had with my own safety, my own interpretation of God and what was protecting me. I always had a belief that I would live forever and that life would be okay. And so far today, it's turning out that way. And I believe that life is going to be okay for humanity. I do. Artificial intelligence. On the contrary, I think artificial intelligence is actually going to bring us together and bring us to peace. You know, I don't want to ever discount or take for granted whatever it was that is allowing me and us to live here in society. I need to remember that there's something bigger going on, whether it's a solar eclipse to bring us all together, or whether one individual right now is passing someone who's homeless, and they can tell this person's homeless. Their shoes are raggedy. See, my buddy Ryan is always like, you know how you can tell who someone who's homeless? Look at their shoes. Look at their teeth. And that individual is giving them a $20 bill today. There's so many great kind acts that are occurring all the time. Our media just doesn't put it centerfold. There's people helping each other today. There's people giving another person a hug today. I'm not going to cite this, but I definitely found some research that suggested, subtle command, that hugs, not only do they add years to your life, but if you're getting 8 hugs a day, you're growing as a person. Of course, our World Health Organization would not want us to do that. Don't hug. Even shoes, with millions of lightning strikes all over the earth throughout the day. Our planet is charged. It is a force of nature, electrons and atoms, but yet we wear shoes. We have houses with foundations, strong foundation. Foundations are great. I believe that. But foundations also keep us from being open-minded. They can also keep us stuck in those old beliefs. Sometimes cracking that foundation, being barefoot on this earth and allowing that energy feel. A lot of expectations. Anyway, I decided to do this episode today. I know I said last week that the next episode would be Chris B, and it will be. Chris B and I will be getting together on the 20th of April, and we'll be doing an interview, so I may get another podcast in. I hope that this one didn't bore you too much. I love you all. I want to thank you for namasteing, but namago.